Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's go. Hour two of the program here, Fox Sports Radio, on a Tuesday night. Smith off tonight. So my tag team partner, Sunday mornings, Fox Sports Sundays. You hear us 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And during the football season, we are your kickoff show here. My guy, LeVar Arrington, the All-American, the king of the mammals himself. Hi. Jacked up to have you here, buddy.
It's always a pleasure when I get to crack the mic with you, bro. Like, that's, you know, when they called me and said that, you know, Jason was having technical difficulties and, you know, would you want to sit in with, you know, your long-lost brother? Like, I think our you know, sequel or, you know, remake of Twins would totally out-trump Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I like coming on with my twin brother, Mike Harmon.
I'm with you, man. Let's try to just do a scene-for-scene reenactment. Those are popular in Hollywood right now.
I mean, let's do it.
Oh, man, you're on the road to Swole going all Schwarzeneggerian, and you got me. I'm just north of the size of a Danny DeVito. A little more hair, but you're getting close there, too.
Danny DeVito is a very respected, very successful, super dope actor, but Mike, he's got nothing on you, bro.
Oh, you're too kind. I will clip that off and have them play that when I leave this mortal coil. See that? I got an unsolicited testimonial from my guy, LeVar Arrington, telling me all sorts of positivity. Look, we got, LeBron James is at the game tonight, so that's good. There's a positive thing for the Lakers. He's not playing. As those unaware, LeBron out at least one more night. Going to try to give it the old college try tomorrow against the Houston Rockets. Those that love to go after LeBron James say, well, he wanted no part of this rough and tumble Knicks squad that we see play defense, that Tom Thibodeau hallmark defense. Right now, the Knicks being led by Derrick Rose, he's got 10 off the bench. He's just been fantastic the last couple of months. And we've talked a lot, you and I, on the Sunday show and when we've had an opportunity to talk during the week here on Fox Sports Radio about what Julius Randle has become, right? He's trying to get his big bag, but also, you know, trying to be the face of the franchise right now and trying to lead them back to some level of prominence. RJ Barrett is struggling from the field thus far, 2 of 8, but we got a tie ball game with 7 minutes left in the second quarter. For the Lakers, Anthony Davis with 8, Kuzma with 7. Lots of joke about the fact that Kuzma is not blonde anymore. So I don't know whether it's playoff Kuzma, he can't have the yellow streaks. But either way, LeBron is actually courtside, so there's a positive development, I guess, for the Lakers. One step closer to being in uniform and ready to go. But it's the marquee game as we're here in the final week of the season. Nobody... I thought they'd be a little more competitive, but the fact that they're 38-30, the Knicks this season under Thibodeau and still playing hard down the stretch, and these guys haven't fallen apart, because let's face it, maybe that's because they're playing 10 fewer games, LeVar. Because historically, young teams with Thibodeau, by this point, they're gassed. And right now, they're still playing some good basketball.
Well, there you go. Listen, I'm glad LeBron is there, because that obviously makes for good conversation to reference LeBron being there, and that totally adds to the cachet and the entertainment of the game itself, is being able to say, hey, there's LeBron right there, and there's a bucket, and then look, there's LeBron shaking hands like that was a good play, and there is a rebound, and there's LeBron James giving a high five, and he's explaining how he was able to get in position, how the player was able to get in position and get the rebound. Like, come on, man. Like, listen, my whole thing is, I'm all for the popularity that accompanies the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. But give the man a little bit of breathing room, man. Like, you know, if he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not. I mean, last I checked, you become Casper the Friendly Ghost while you're not playing. Like, that's just how it works. I know he's the biggest name, biggest brand. I get it. But let that man be unhealthy right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you've set precedent before in this season as being an extra coach under the basket, which he was for a number of games, and then the rumor was that he was ready to play, and then suddenly he's not with the team for a couple of games. And then when your coach is asked, is it a medical reason, and he says no, like, okay, so what's going on here? That's all.
Take a vet night. Get out of here. Go hang with your kids. Go watch a game. You know it's basketball season for high schools. You know, it's just – it could be anything. You know, it's LeBron. Anything is possible. And – you know, the one thing that I think people have to take into consideration when thinking about LeBron James is he knows what he's doing. He probably knows what he's doing more than most people connected to the organization.
Well, no, and that's where the question and what we talked about a little bit last hour, for those that missed it, podcast will be up about 3 hours from now when we wrap up and Ben Maller takes over here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get it on any of the different platforms in which you get your podcast. Go find the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Tuesday edition, download it, give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever.
I get on y'all's podcast feed. Oh
yes,
my God.
No, and then we'll feed, and we'll have Ryan feed it back to Up on Game. Yes. No. We'll make synergy, man. As much as people hate that word, because a lot of folks don't know what it means, but it's one of those buzzwords that you know you got to take advantages of.
It's when you commit sins. It's when you commit sins
with great energy.
With great energy.
Yeah. No, with great,
I love
with great
committing
dust.
Sins with great energy. That's what makes me a masterful synergist.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
That was well said.
Thank you.
Not even close to the definition, but that was good.
That was good.
It's now, you know, because if we can say it often enough, what happens now is people just give up fighting it and they just add it to the dictionary as an alternate definition.
You can
say something incorrectly for years, and if it propagates properly,
it becomes a word.
It becomes an actual word. It's like, that's not the way this is supposed to work.
That is how language evolves, my friend. Do you realize that you were shunned and you were reprimanded and you were corrected if you said ain't? Like, I ain't doing it. That was frowned upon. It was considered to not be correct English or grammar skills. And listen, for me, I look at it like this. I'm going to speak with a little bit of slang, a little bit of twang, a little bit of off this, off that. And it's a melting pot of Alabama, Jamaica, Pittsburgh, Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia. Yes, West Virginia. I could go down to West Virginia and I could get you West Virginia as good as anybody could get you West Virginia. I go out back and get me a piece of straw and chew
You're
on
that. You're starting to sound like Boomhauer.
I'll be able to go out and I'll take care of that yard better than anybody else can. I have some country Bama talking family members. And I mean, when I say down backwoods, down home, missing 20 teeth, if you even have 20 teeth, if they there, they missing, and they happy to be where they at with their old rusty tractor and their one cow and a cool little crib with some really, really good food and an outhouse. I have actually been a part of a home in my family that didn't have running water. How about that?
Teach you how to do some other things, man. A lot of boiling of water having to go on. And I was reading something about an old reliever earlier who his snack was he'd actually just chew on sugar cane. Obviously, his teeth weren't very good either.
Some cats really do that, though.
Yeah.
That's
kind of something. But here's a question I raised to the guys in the other room, and it's something I've been pondering for a while after I saw a tweet pass my timeline early this morning. Is one thing we missed in the draft process, and obviously it was a very strange NFL draft process, you know, no combine, you were used to the T-shirt and underwear Olympics and what those days are and all of the different pieces of information that flow. We had no mocking or derisive work coming out of a leaked Wonderlic score this year. But I had this, and that's what led me down this road. And it's interesting that we got into intelligence, parts of speech, and perception versus reality, right? Because part of using ain't was, well, not that it was necessarily incorrect, but, you know, you don't want to show yourself to be less intelligent, even though that was all just nonsense. That was certainly how I was taught growing up. Certain words that you had to leave out if you wanted to have elevated speech. And now I have my $5 words just to justify my diplomas.
Am not gon' do it. I ain't gon' do it. It sounds way better than I am not gon' do it.
I categorically refuse to do it. Listen, so evidently there have been 6,500 professional athletes that have been given an aptitude test sports psychologist Dr. Goldman.
Oh, no.
All right. So, Justin Fields, according to this leaked number, this mental aptitude test, scored a 130. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It's the top 1% of the 6,500 people that have been tested to date. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, both scored a 108.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to your belief in his ability and
mental aptitude,
his mental aptitude, his ability to see the field. We'd heard from those that did the research, football IQ, and those that worked with him, football IQ just being off the charts. And so now we have this sports psychologist aptitude test that rolls through, and I really would love to see more data as to what's being asked here. But for the purpose of
the way I'm saying,
I know.
Okay.
But either way, whoever's deciding this is the possibility, I mean, if this is his agent, he's a genius.
Top 1%
the Bears,
meaning the smartest, right?
Correct.
Okay. Because I was about to say, if it wasn't considered to be the top 1%, and I'm going to just be honest either way, whether you scored on the top 1% or you scored on the bottom of the percentage, to me, the brilliance of what someone brings to the table is going to be unique to what that person brings to the table. You may do macaroni cheese very well. I may do a broccoli casserole very well. We all may bring something very different to the table, very different, but yet could be very tasty and very, very appealing and attractive to want to try and want to eat. It's the same thing with athletes. It's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in life. There are people in the National Football, and to that point, maybe every Hall of Fame probably has someone who couldn't even read at first grade, second grade, third grade level. Probably just couldn't read. Illiterate. Just seemingly not educated. And I always found that to be a very challenging conversation to have, because to say someone isn't educated book-wise is sufficient and legit. But to say they're not educated is ignorant all in itself, because your life experiences educate you. So if someone takes in something more as life experiences and they're able to convert that into a function of achievement and accomplishment, that's one thing. Someone who is able to pick up a book, read it, comprehend it, give a book report, answer questions, multiple choice, maybe paragraph wise, essay driven, that's another way. Some can do both. It's just, to me, when you look at the whole measuring of what someone is, their capabilities are, and you base it off of aptitude tests and different things like that, I just find it to be a tad bit inaccurate, a tad bit off, and just not really the best way to measure and judge what one's brilliance is. You know, to be able to do some of the things that these guys are able to do in the blinking of an eye. So your mind had to move quickly enough to tell your body to react to doing it this way, as quickly as an eye will blink. Think I'm joking? Go find your way onto a football field where pros are playing and get on the sideline.
It's a terrifying experience on the sideline. There's no question.
Bro, let me tell you something. I was on a college sideline. I can recall the last Penn State game I went to, and I was like, oh my God. And I'm not even one to use God's name in vain. And I said, oh my God. My God, this is scary as hell.
Yet God, when you were playing out there, it slowed down and you were able to do your work. See, it's a different perspective, right?
When you're playing, you don't think about how dangerous it is.
Sure.
When you're playing, you don't think about how dangerous you are. And the interesting thing for me was, as a civilian, as I watched those plays take place and I watched them going back and forth, it blew me away how big they were and how quick they were and how fast they were and how quickly everything was developing. And that was at the college level. Like, college games are the equivalent of the speed of a real NFL practice. If they're practicing on Bloody Tuesday or Bloody Wednesdays, a Bloody Wednesday practice is the speed of a college football game. So imagine how much faster they're moving on game day at the pro level. It's pretty mind-boggling.
No, absolutely, right? And to the larger point, making, you know, you've got to have a baseline somewhere, right? When we talk about the education system, and as much as we want to revamp things, there's always, you got to have some base moving forward, but doesn't mean there's not more evaluation. Likewise, when you're trying to evaluate pro prospects, you know, using the metrics that you did 20 years ago, it's a new world order. We can evaluate things different.
Man.
It's a different game, different speed, and the aptitudes and what these guys learn from 7-on-7, as we talk about on Sundays going all the way through. It's a different evolution of the game. Likewise, evolving in Oakland, a big deal that could take, well, the last big team away from that section of the Bay Area. We'll get into that next, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All righty then. We're having a blast here with you. Fox Sports Radio, the ball is flying out as Chavez Ravine, 3-1 Seattle, top of 5. We're watching the Knicks and the Lakers, having some fun with you here, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight, which means my guy LeVar Arrington in with me tonight. We're having a blast, and now we're going to go to the world of baseball, and there's a huge story swirling, and it's only appropriate that, LeVar, we go and we reach out to one of our most trusted insiders to get his perspective. And when you hear the music, that's right, you know.
Yeah.
It's our guy, John Paul Morosi. You follow him on Twitter, at John Morosi. Leave out the H. Hi, Mom. At JonMorosi. Fox Sports Radio Insider, Major League Baseball Network. He's getting ready for the NHL playoffs, and he's trying to find where he needs to go to cover the Oakland A's once they move.
Hello, John.
Well, LeVar and Mike, my friends, good evening. Greetings from our live broadcast location outside LMCU Ballpark in Comstock Park, Michigan.
Look at that.
I'm here to cover... Yes, this is outside of Grand Rapids, beautiful area. I came here to cover the home debut of number one overall pick, Spencer Torkelson. His West Michigan Whitecaps fell decidedly to the Great Lakes Loons, the Dodger affiliate. So while the Dodgers are in third place and losing tonight, I can report to you confidently their high A team won decidedly against West Michigan tonight.
Let me tell you this, LeVar, and JP, you'll appreciate this. The sporting memorabilia and trading card world, loving all of the releases of the Torkelson rookie cards.
It's
you want to talk about hot commodities.
Torkelson.
Yeah, Spencer Torkelson, number one overall pick from Arizona State. But I tell you what, LeVar, the Big Ten baseball quality is improving. Not quite as good as Big Ten football, my friend, but it's been pretty good this year.
Well, Penn State's baseball team is pretty phenomenal. I'm a big fan of them. I mean, they've won a championship. I love everything Penn State, and yeah, our baseball team is actually pretty good. I'm with you there on that.
Talk love hearing about a beautiful ballpark there where the State College Bikes have played many years, too.
Look at
State
that.
Bikes.
All that's that right. excitement.
That's right. It is a great, great little deal. Hey, John, let me ask you this, man. Now, you are a voice of the game, and you do very well with it. And I'm just wondering right now, you know, you talked about some of the things you got going on, and one thing that came up was the Twins and the White Sox. And I'm just wondering, like, is that a great story? Is that a great topic of conversation, or is there a different game, something different going on right now in the MLB that is more, you know, a bigger story or something bigger to talk about?
Well, LeVar, a couple things. So, first of all, I'm very excited. We've got our game tomorrow night in Chicago, White Sox and Twins. So, that's actually where I'm heading after the game here this evening.
Right.
But I do think this, that and Mike alluded to it a moment ago, the news about the A's is a big deal. And
okay.
and obviously, we have to see where this story leads. We saw statements today from the Oakland Athletics, from MLB. And the main story here, as I'm sure you've documented during the course of the show, is that MLB is encouraging the A's to look around for alternate sites to have their team. And the reason why is that they've had a real issue getting the deal consummated with Oakland to be able to build a new ballpark on the waterfront. Now, the ballpark itself would have all private funds, but certainly there would be some city-related infrastructure and some local tax dollars used for that. And so it's now a huge question. What does the city council in Oakland want to do? And I think, LeVar, to me, MLB and the A's are pushing the city council for a resolution this summer, because if we get to the end of this year and there is no movement forward on that project, then I think it becomes time to look somewhere else. They've basically been looking at this, LeVar, for 15 years, and it hasn't really moved. And so if they can't build where they want to build down on the waterfront, then they're going to have to look elsewhere, because one thing that their president, Dave Cavill, said to NBC Sports Bay Area today is that this is probably the biggest news for all of us who follow all sports, the Coliseum site will not be home to the A's any longer. That is, in terms of, they may build a new stadium, but that's not going to be, rebuilding on that site is not what's going to happen, which means that whenever there's an outcome, either the A's move downtown or they move to a different site, there's going to be no more A's, in addition to no more Raiders, in addition to no more Warriors at that site that not long ago had three professional sports teams.
The O.co, having gone there many, many times when I lived in the Bay Area and a couple of trips thereafter, it's a hole. But the sight lines are good. Just don't be there with the plumbing. And Mount Davis is something that leaves you scratching your head every time you see it. But Oakland, it very much, JP, you're going to Guaranteed Rate Field tomorrow. Very much the same circumstance that the White Sox had when, quote, New Comiskey was built, trying to get public funds and having to look at the idea of a multi-use facility. And for those that went to the stadium when it was first built, the criticisms were how steep the upper deck was and why couldn't it be this, that, the other. They had to pass on Camden Yards because, well, that was a pure baseball field. Likewise, here we're talking about a $12 billion multi-use project from all the reports, which means there's a whole lot of politicking that has to go on with this, and you know, a lot of infighting and promises made, and that's where we get to our standstill 15 years later.
Well, you're right. And certainly one thing about California is that whenever you want to build something of this magnitude, there often is a lot of environmental impact, land use.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we understand what a densely populated area the Bay Area is. So there's a lot of decisions that are part of the reality there that, for example, were not part of the calculus when the Rangers built their new place in Arlington, Texas, when the Braves moved out to Cobb County. It was a fundamentally different situation. This is finding a very small area of potentially redeveloped like prime real estate in one of the most densely populated metropolitan areas of our country. And that is a very unique needle to thread for the A's and for Major League Baseball. And I think to me, Mike and LeVar, one of the really important parts of this story here is that baseball basically has to do a couple things here. This year is important to get fans back in the ballparks, which, by the way, is happening. More and more crowds we're seeing go from 25 to 50. Some places are at 100%. The Braves are one of them. The Rangers are another. Houston is basically there, too. So we're already seeing those stadiums go out to 100%. That's a big data point for baseball. The fans are back in the stadiums. That's key. Okay, so now the second thing they've got to do this year is find a way to negotiate the next CBA and keep the game on the field. You cannot afford a work stoppage when you missed half the year last year. You just can't do it. And so for that purpose, you need to have a good labor relations and a good dialogue back and forth with the union this year. And then once you do all of those things, fans are back, labor agreements in place, then you can talk about growing and building momentum again. And that is where I think baseball is correct here. Whatever the outcome is, they need an answer from Oakland. They need an answer from Tampa Bay, because you can't expand to Portland, to Nashville, to Montreal, or Vegas, wherever it might be. You cannot expand until you get answers from the A's and from the Rays. You need to get answers there so they can thrive. And then, guess what, guys? There's all this talk about what the expansion fee might be. Is it $1.2 billion? Is it $2 billion? Whatever it ends up being. Divide that by 30 existing owners, guys. That's a lot of money. And yeah. So when you're coming out of this pandemic and the diminished revenues, and if you can have the buy-in fee land all those tens of millions of dollars in everybody's pocket from an ownership standpoint, that's a pretty appealing windfall. So they want to expand, but they can't have that windfall until they know where Oakland and Tampa Bay are going to be playing for the long term.
Talk to me about the Olympics and guys that are looking to play for other teams. When I was bringing up big news or big headlines, I was thinking about guys like Pujols or, you know, maybe even Anibal Sanchez, different guys that are looking to play for different teams going into this Olympic season. Just expand on that a little bit.
Sure, LeVar, and I'm glad you asked about it, because international baseball is a huge passion of mine, so this is one of my favorite stories. And yes, notably, LeVar, we, the U.S., we have not yet qualified for the Olympics. That's one of the biggest headlines here, is that we have to play a tournament at the end of the beginning of the end of this month and into the early days of June down in Florida. It's the America's qualifier. So the Team USA is managed by Mike Socha, so a World Series winning manager. And so all players who are not on 40-man rosters are eligible. So minor league players and then free agents or players who are maybe on their way out of the game and off of active rosters, like Pujols, like Anibal Sanchez. And so we might see, I was told today by a source, the Dominican Republic wants Albert Pujols to play for them, or at least has interest in having him play for them at this qualifier coming up. Venezuela, same thing with Anibal Sanchez. I've heard that Matt Kemp may be playing for Team USA potentially. We've already seen a number of teams qualify. Mexico, Israel, Japan, Korea, they're already in. It's a six-team tournament. So it's going to be so interesting, LeVar, to see who ends up playing. But yes, it would really add a lot of cachet to the Olympic qualifiers if, in fact, Albert Pujols is there. And who knows? If he has a great tournament, LeVar, he could find a way to maybe get back on an active roster in MLB after the tournament's over. Maybe he finds that stroke again when he's down playing for the Dominican Republic. It'd be a great story, and it certainly would, I think, capture a lot of attention for international baseball this year.
I still was ready to claim him as future White Sox Hall of Famer Albert Pujols, but doesn't look like that.
I know.
Because I still claim Ken Griffey Jr. you know. So, JP, last one for you. As we look at the standings and we're getting into the middle of May, is there a team that you're overly concerned about? I mean, obviously the Dodgers have had a rough stretch, but everybody just says, wait it out. I'm concerned. But is there another team that's maybe circling a bit that you think might be in the seller category sooner than later?
I'm looking at the Twins, and certainly, you know, we're going to see them tomorrow night in Chicago. They're a team that's well under 500, and they've gotten off to a poor start. Byron Buxton, it breaks my heart that he's back on the injured list because, man, I watched him play a five-hit game in Cleveland in person, and just what an incredible player and a great person, too. And it breaks my heart that he's having these injury issues because he's a five-tool player who can do it all. And so when you think about his injury, the way they've played, I think we may see someone like a Jay Happ get traded, maybe even Nelson Cruz.
How about that?
He's hitting all these home runs after turning 40, but they're below 500. The White Sox, your White Sox, Mike, they're playing so well. So I think the Twins are going to be, we always talk about it this time of year, I always say they're on the road to Sellersville, which is actually a town in Pennsylvania. And I say that when you're on your road to Sellersville, that means you're going to be a seller at the deadline. I believe right now the Minnesota Twins are headed on the interstate to Sellersville at this year's trade deadline.
There you go. They just lost to the White Sox 9-3 tonight. Reminder, JP is with Harold Reynolds, Dan Plesac, and Greg Amsinger tomorrow, part of MLB Network's coverage of White Sox Twins. And the call starts 8 p.m. Eastern time. JP, thanks so much for being with us tonight. We always appreciate the time. I'm glad you enjoyed your minor league baseball moment for tonight. It's good to see that back on our radar as well.
I love it. Good for the soul. It means so much in every community. And Mike and LeVar, always enjoyed the conversation. And LeVar, I cannot wait until you and I have a chance to watch a Penn State-Michigan game in person, friend, together. That's hopefully coming up soon.
Love it. That'd be awesome.
We're going to make it happen.
Sounds great.
All right.
Right on, JP. Safe travels, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. All the best, guys. Thanks so much.
At John Morosi, where you find him
Spencer
on Twitter.
Torkelson.
He's, I'm telling you what, do a quick search of what his stuff's going for on eBay. Absolutely amazing, his Bowman rookie cards and all the like.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. LeVar Arrington in for Jason Smith tonight. Jason will be back tomorrow because it'll be schedule release night. Yeah, that's right. As we get excited, some of those starting to leak. We'll get more into that as the night develops, as well as a Tom Brady story. And I think I found the guy that I want to be the leader of the players going forward. And I think I found him in Denver. LeVar, I think I found him in Denver with some remarks he had earlier today. But we'll get into that a little bit deeper as the night goes on. But in Las Vegas, a huge announcement that would make Jerry Jones jealous. The beginnings of a huge club in Allegiant Stadium. Not that you wouldn't be going to Vegas to club out anyway, but now you'll be able to do it as part of your football watching experience. And Jerry's had the, hey, come on in, pretty cheaply party zone for a long time since they opened the Palace there in Dallas. But now we're talking about a line of DJs, big video boards, and a party environment, taking it off the strip and into the gameplay. Man, I have to wonder how many players just say, hey, I'm out for this series. I'm going to go have a dance. Let's go. It's really something next level. I guess this is where, as we talked about Oakland and trying to secure the proverbial bag from the politicians and from the city, right? Because we always know there's some marriage between public and private money, or at least in most cases. Not often do you have something like SoFi here in Los Angeles that is privately backed and built, right? Mm-hmm. That is the outlier in this. Normally they'd say, hey, you get some value from us. And there have been studies that say it's a losing proposition, but there is something with the that you can't put in the balance sheet of, you know, city pride and all of those things about keeping a team in town. But for Vegas, now that they have the former Oakland Raiders, they're saying, all right, we're now going to one-up it. Now, not only do we have the Death Star, now we're going to have the Death Star with the greatest club known to man. And Al Davis would be the proudest guy watching that go to work, I'll tell you.
Maybe. I know club level literally meant club level in Washington, D.C., just so we're clear on that. I don't know that that's, you know, now maybe you didn't call it a club, and I get that, but I will say club level in Washington, D.C. meant club level. Now, you may be wondering how I know that when I was playing, but I did have a time where I was injured, and I did see what the spectacle itself did look like.
Well, and you had to go and represent, right? You had to go and shake hands and kiss babies. That's right.
I did not go in.
Oh.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Bad job by you.
No, it was not. I could not. No. That was more, and I hate to admit this, it was more entertaining than the game.
No kidding.
No lie.
Should have sold tickets for that too, huh?
I'm sure
they did try to sell tickets to training camp at some point, so why not to the clubs as well? 11,000 square feet Winfield Club, north end zone. I mean, it's a $2 billion stadium. They're saying two DJ booths, wins DJ roster, and plenty of guys who made their mark here during the pandemic, right, with their online streams, Instagram and other. 42 televisions, a 9-foot by 35-foot LED screen, and a 45,000-watt sound system.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
Boom, boom.
All right, note
boom,
to self. Boom, boom, we are also boom, going to boom, Vegas boom, for a game. See, there you go. Now we're committed to not only hang out two Sunday mornings, but also two Sunday nights. And the studios in Vegas are top notch. They just redid those about 3 years ago.
Gotta love it.
So there you go. But it's just the interesting time of year, right? As we get out of the draft, now it's the last jockeying roster positions, maybe a couple of trades. We still have some names out there. Notice we've gone through almost 2 hours of the show, and this is the first time that I say the name Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Well, because we got to at least take a drive-by on that story coming out of Devontae Adams' quotes on The Herd a day ago because, well, people want to know what the three-time All-Pro has to say about that.
Truth.
Right? Three-time Pro Bowl.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So we got to make sure we get the love there as that develops. And you got Deshaun Watson still in the background. There's plenty of news to be made. But when we're talking about schedule release and really a cannon of fireworks going up to celebrate the new NFL season and 100% capacity, that's what we're talking. So we'll get into that. But first, it's I want to celebrate someone in Denver. Okay. Who's talking and acting like a grown-up. He's next on Fox.